This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good. We're a lot more awake and lively than we were yesterday.
Yes.
Although, Julia, I have to say, I did like seeing the coverage on Access, Entertainment Tonight, and ET about the AARP Hollywood for Grown-Up Gala. That's what they are called it, the gala.
Ah.
It got so much press this year. I'm kind of blown away.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm excited.
It's really great, I think.
Knock on wood, next year we're on that red carpet. How'd it go this morning with you and the Mai Talkies?
It went well, Lori. I want you to know all those nice notes you made for me. I left here at work. I started out kind of...
Did we win any categories today?
We didn't, but we came in second so strongly. Second and third. We really were close in many, but no, we didn't.
Do you even remember your categories?
Oprah,
most valuable celebrity?
Oprah didn't win. Taylor Swift won. But she was, I think Oprah was second. And then the other ones were,
the actors, we didn't care. We were happy
Julia
to get
Gardner,
actors.
But she was just in second.
Okay,
she was in
good.
Second, very close
okay.
To whoever won, whoever that was. This was a long time ago in my mind.
Yes, I know.
And I didn't realize when I got up and, you know, clicked into the StreamYard, I don't have the right mic at home, so you have to talk on your phone and hold your phone. But I didn't.
How am I going to do tomorrow?
Well, I've prepped you. You're going to do good. You're going to do well.
I'm going to call in.
You're going to call in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun, though. I mean, yeah. I'm tell you what, there is an art to making that fun, and Jason is such a good host. It was really
MC Zaddy.
He's so good at it, and Alexis is so cute. I mean, everyone, they really do a good job making.
Do they announce who the people picked first, or do they have everybody
a little bit of both? It was kind of a little bit of both. We did it both ways, but I'm going to tell you, I actually the hour went like that.
All right,
and
so it was an hour.
It's fun.
You know, it was an hour.
Okay. Yeah.
But in Rocco does some nice, you know,
nice.
Stuff. And
really
there's a nice
stuff.
Comment.
My
about-
turn tomorrow. I'm with all the boys. They put me with all the, I guess they were like, yeah, put the girl with two testicles on with all the guys with testicles.
Oh, yeah.
Bradley, Steve, and Jason and me.
That's
and
a fun group.
Alexis,
that's who I was with. That's a fun group.
Yeah. Boys versus, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
But one of the things about it is we have won. Jason and Alexis have two winnings. Don and Steve have two. Bradley and Don, zero, and the Academy has one.
All right.
So,
yeah.
Austin Butler is the Academy's one lone win.
Right. I'm going to tell you, when Elvis lost today for Best Movie to Top Gun, Rocco did a nice thing about saying how you were just falling over in your grave.
It's not right.
It was funny. Telling you, so tune in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. That's
Thank
a fun.
You.
I really thought it was fun.
All right. Well, speaking of something that isn't right, this is something that has bothered me since last summer when we heard about it. And that is that the city of St. Paul is trying... The St. Paul Parks and Rec is proposing a regional trail plan for Summit Avenue. The Hollywood speak on that is that they're going to tear up Summit Avenue, replace all the curbs, which they just replaced a couple years ago at quite a bit of expense, and tear down a whole bunch of trees to widen the bike lane that's already in existence on Summit Avenue.
Shame.
I'm going to say this because I grew up in St. Paul, like 5 blocks off Summit. You know, that was our very first house. And we walked, what they're talking about is getting rid of the boulevards. I mean, it's that is what Summit Avenue was known for, is these beautiful boulevards. Why these biking lanes have so much power.
And the city is steering the plan. It has been unsettling. We don't usually do this kind of thing, but we did post SaveSummitAvenue.org on our website. If you love the historic character of Summit and you love trees, we ask you to sign this petition. If you live in St. Paul, after you sign it, it will show you where your ward is and you can send an email. But they are, the draft of the plan drops tomorrow, and it feels like they're ignoring advice from their own experts who have basically said, it's already perfect the way it is.
Just repave it for once. Repave so there's not it. Potholes.
And they did, Julie, I'm telling you, remember they did that bridge over Aid Mill World? Then they redid all these curbs too. They put them out and rounder and this and that. And we have it's going to be published tomorrow, and then there'll be a 30-day proposal where I guess the fear is for, you know, people who live in St. Paul, and most certainly probably 98% of the people who live on Summit Avenue, is that there is this real fear that the city is going to buffalo and do kind of a smoke and mirror kind of thing, because somebody somewhere is making money on this redo of the boulevard. But I'm worried they're going to ruin St. Paul, Summit Avenue, like they've ruined a lot of Minneapolis with their Fakakta streets and the parking that comes out this way. We are land of cars. We have plenty of bike trails. We have plenty of wonderful outdoor
space. And there are already bike trails that exist. They don't need to be wider. What about the walkers? What about everything? And this is just a passion because...
Oh, it makes me just furious.
I want to say one other thing about St. Paul right now. I grew up there. Mm-hmm. This obsession to take busy streets and make a bike lane in them. And I'll give you Lexington Avenue going down a hill right before Randolph. In the middle of a winter, no one would be caught dead riding their bike there. And Aid Mill Road, which was short line, putting a bike lane there instead of an extra car lane. I don't know what it is. Great that we have bike areas.
We have so many biking trails. Does every street need to be a bike trail? And the other thing with this Summit plan is it will get rid of quite a bit of crosswalks and the ability for people who live on Summit to have their park, to have street parking.
Right.
There are 300 carriage walks and 150 driveway aprons that they would redo. It's completely unnecessary.
And they're going to raise your...
Yeah, well, who knows what that's going to be, but they want to have all this curved stuff.
I don't know why they're doing all this. They've taken away so much parking in St. Paul already. It's just... Anyway.
And in-street bike lanes save trees, and there are safer, better, cheaper ways that they can do it. Could do this. If the city of St. Paul can't get its act together and repave Summit in the last 7 years, they have no business trying to redo the boulevard. So... if you love trees, if you love Summit Avenue, please go to the LoJ page or go to SaveSummitAvenue.org. This is progress that is not needed.
Do you have to be a St. Paul resident to vote?
Anyone can sign on the petition. Okay. You have to be a St. Paul resident to contact your city council person.
Okay, got it.
Which Casey and I have already done, along with all of many other people that we know that live in St. Paul. And if you go anywhere in St. Paul, there's SOS signs, save our streets, save our trees.
The only other thing I just want to say is that I live in a suburb now, and our streets get plowed, and it all works, and that's how it's supposed to do. I feel like there's so many other issues in St. Paul about basic management of plowing and keeping the streets safe. I mean, that they ignore, and the potholes.
They have
no idea.
Yeah.
It's Summit is the most beautiful street, and they haven't paved it in years. It's just like highway robbery. Because people would drive down Summit to see
We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore.
There's our Julia Sugarbaker moment. But I would go sign the petition.
Yes.
It's
It's maddening. It's maddening. And I feel like the city and the St. Paul Parks and Recs Department are buffaloing us. It's a bunch of BS. And I'm sorry, not sorry to the bikers, because there's plenty of places
bike lanes
for you to bike.
They're already there.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And with that,
it's our story we can't get enough of.
All right, everybody, it's Lori and Julia here for Chan Hassen Dinner Theater. And if you're thinking about Valentine's Day, they have wonderful things there you can do.
Good date night there.
I love it. It's just a classic place. So much to do. For starters, the new show on the main stage, The Prom, is happening.
It's a big, splashy Tony Award winning musical comedy. It starts February 10th. It's a new show based on a true story, of course. Singing, dancing, and a story packed with big comedy and kindness. People, you do not want to miss The Prom. We already have our tickets. We can't wait to see it.
Do the amazing Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson. I have love letters for 8 shows in February. Can't wait to see this. They were on. They were so delightful. It sold out in November. You know that these are going quick. We have our tickets. The concerts coming up. Tributes to The Band, Rod Stewart, Cat Stevens, tons more, and of course, TV Race Comedy, ChanHassenDT.com.
Makes me so mad. I just sent out a thing to my council person.
I know. I just went and signed Save Summit Avenue. Go to the Loje show page if you want more information on it. But it's
ridiculous
what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Okay. Some hot gossip, Julie.
Yes.
Some hot gossip story that I just took. I was just like, wow, finally. Okay, here's what's going on. So the first hot gossip story is that Ashton Kutcher is on the cover of GQ magazine.
Okay.
Must be the February issue. Looking, you know, tousled and, you know, just looking different than he looks. Because he really has stepped away from acting.
And he had a big health scare, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So GQ brings up Demi Moore's memoir, Inside Out, which came out in 2019. Tore through that book. I loved that memoir.
You did. So we talked about it
for days.
A lot. Yep.
So her memoir, Inside Out, and he told Esquire he did not want to open up anything up in that realm as far as the book is concerned, because they asked him, how did that book release your family? And he said, I had finally gotten to a place where the press had really laid off me and my wife, Mila Kunis, and my life and my family. He said, and then her book came out, and then the paparazzi were at my kid's school. And he said, I don't have any hard feelings for Demi, but I was bleeped off with her, because he never made any comments at the time, but the one thing that came out was she reflected on 2 threesomes that she and Ashton had,
right,
in the book. And she also accused him of influencing her relapse.
That's right.
And she also told us about a miscarriage she had at 6 months.
That's right.
So he said, again, I was bleeped off.
Yeah.
And I don't have any hard feelings, he said, but look, I was 26. I was bearing the responsibility of an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 12-year-old. Because he was 24 when he started dating Demi, and right, then they got married at 26. He said, I still have a relationship with all the kids. He said, for whatever reason, I needed to have children. And we always knew that was right, the reason that they broke up. But he was not happy with her writing those.
Okay, let me just tell you why. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here he is, because when the book was written, he had small children. And for you, some things you just don't want out there. I would die if my kids knew that Bill and I had these threesomes or something and we're divorced and Bill decides he's going to write about them. I would be furious. Like,
he was.
You need to give me the right to say yes or no on that one, because it involves me.
Yeah, but he'd never spoken about it, was his PR consultant, and probably his wife said the same thing. Don't say anything. Don't
never
bring
complain,
it up.
Never explain, that's kind of right, thing. But I
used a double expletive with GQ. He was bleeping bleeped off.
I would have been too.
Yeah. So,
and he was a huge part of those kids' lives. you know,
still has a relationship with those kids. And we always knew that's why it wasn't going to work when they got married.
He was a piece of ash. We always said
it. Piece of ash. Yeah.
He was 36 and he...
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Was 24. We came up with that. He was her piece of ash.
Oh, and that's where, wood. Yeah. Beautiful. Wood. But always difficult when you're older at 36 in age to your husband than your oldest daughter is closer to
you.
Yeah,
that would be a tough. Just,
and then, you know, the biological clock's not being in sync at the
100%.
Same time. 100%. So that's now this tough. One gave me.
What do you think of him saying that?
I think it's enough time has passed. It's been, you know, 4 years since mm-hmm. that book came out. And yeah, so seems right that he commented and that's all he wanted to say. And, you know, and not, they're friends. And, but at the time he was.
Oh, I would have been livid. Right.
So this other hot gossip story that I like and is, you know, Speaking of your exes in a bad way, remember when Ben Affleck blamed his drinking on Jennifer Garner and that he'd still be a drunk if he was with her? Yep. That was about a year
I'd
and a half
still be
ago.
On the couch.
Yeah.
Drinking just, every night.
Yeah.
If I was married to her. Oh, that's another. What is that?
So we were like, boy, she's nice. She drove him to rehab for his third time.
She's co-parented with him beautifully.
Had the kids when he was busy doing, you know, all of these other things. So anyway, and she was supposedly happy and I believe to be rid of her fourth child. But anyway, I saw a photo of Ben Affleck greeting, you know, Jennifer Garner's
boyfriend
of a few years, John Miller, outside their house. And then in case you haven't heard, you know, Ben is super, you know, double married to Jennifer Lopez now after a 20-year separation. But TikTok is going viral because I think it was Thursday night because we left Friday morning for LA. Yeah. They had the premiere of Shotgun Wedding, a big party.
Yep.
And so anyway, Page Six says, not Page Six. So there's a clip which was posted on Sunday at the after party of the premiere, which happened on Saturday night, on Thursday night. And at the after party, somebody's filmed Ben and Jen, and at the song at the party, Let's Get Loud, Jennifer Lopez song is playing, and Lopez is seen holding a wine glass and kind of like, you know, holding up and looking at it as Ben yells, and you can clearly see him, if you're a lip reader, and this TikToker was, I didn't drink anything, okay?
Oh, she's kind of accusing him that he's not sober.
And she's maintaining eye contact as she's sniffing the glass and looking at him. And then he says, Jen!
Oh,
so people, you know, are like, oh, boy, imagine to have to defend yourself while your ex's song is playing that. Yeah. And she's accusing you of maybe drinking. Then what about being the bartender who served it? Anyway. We'll just see what happens, but that didn't look good.
Oh,
it didn't look good.
Well, I wouldn't want to be him.
Nope. We wish him well.
We wish him well.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
We really do. Okay, Furniture Manor, Furniture Manor, Furniture Manor. You know, it takes, we have choices when it comes to who we buy things from. And I think we always love people who shop local and support our community. And Furniture Manor has been in business since the late 60s. And it's a second generation. Robin runs the business and is just done this fine job. But I really think, you know, furniture is something you should sit, you should feel, you should see. It's so worthwhile your time to pop on up to Furniture Manor. They're just north of 694 on County Road 81 in Osseo. And it's just so accessible and so lovely. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5. They have so many different things, and they also have a really great odds and ends room.
We always got to check out that room to see what we can
find. We always end
in
up
there.
With something, too, yes. From there. So, and we love their furniture, their accessories, their designers, and their pricing. And we know you will, too. FurnitureManor.com.
Piece of our childhood died last night. Grant sent me a note. Cindy Williams, about an hour after we left here, had passed away at the age of 75. And, of course, absolutely epic as one half of Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
You know that show, its third year on the air, was the most watched show in America.
It was so fun.
Just a little spinoff. You know, it was just going to be, they were just going to play Richie and Fonzie's legendary Fleetweed Trollops, Laverne DeFazio, and best friend Shirley Feeney is how that spinoff happened. And, of course, Penny Marshall, Gary Marshall's brother, created Happy Days and this. But GMA, Chris Conley, did a remembering and celebrating Cindy Williams. And so we'll listen to that audio.
It's good.
And Cindy Williams, of course, is in probably the best movie about being a teenager in the 50s, American Graffiti.
Yeah.
Lori Henderson to Ron Howard's Steve. Mm-hmm. And she's epic in that. She gets nominated. It got her a BAFTA nomination, American Graffiti.
Wow.
And in a supporting role. And she was also in The Conversation, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, which a lot of people know that. But she really got to know her future sitcom soulmate, Penny Marshall. They met on a double date with their dates.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, cool. You know, just kind of ironic. And then they were hired to write a comedy for Francis Ford Coppola's production company. And then
$30 a week.
Yeah. And then
And then
Gary Marshall asked them to guest star just to be these trollopy dates on Happy Days.
Right. Penny's older brother.
And they would be, you know, we'll call you the Fleet Week Trollops. And they stole the spotlight and they got de-trolloped and then given, you know, a show. And it was originally titled Laverne DeFazio and Shirley Feeney. But it just ends up saying that in the script. It's just called Laverne and Shirley. It debuted on January 27th, 1976 and ran for 8 seasons. And I believe the 7th season, she wasn't really on. What? She asked for family leave.
No, here's what happened.
What happened?
I've got
didn't
the LA
she want
Times
parental
thing.
Leave or
well,
something?
Well, she was pregnant.
Yes.
She was pregnant and she was going to be giving birth. And they, when it came time for her to sign the contract, they had her working on her due date.
What?
And she said, you know, I can't sign this. I went back and forth and back and forth. And it just never worked out. After she left, she ended up suing Paramount TV and Gary Marshall with $20 million. Claiming they welched on a promise to accommodate her during her pregnancy and still pay her. She, at that time in the 70s.
No, this would have been the 80s.
$75,000 per episode.
Yeah.
Oh. The lawsuit settled. Everything was copacetic.
And she changed the rules for women who are pregnant working as actors in Hollywood. That's a thing that she did in 1982. She marries Bill Hudson of the Hudson brothers, Goldie Hawn's ex-husband and Kate Hudson's dad, and they have two children together.
Really? I didn't
Emily
know that.
And Zach. And they were married for 18 years and then they divorced in 2000. So, she was in, like, before she had Happy Days, she would be in, like, Room 222.
Yeah, I love that show.
Love American Style.
Love that show.
Kind of these classic. She was in Barefoot in the Park. After she majored in theater at LA City College. So the only one left from is Lenny.
Yeah, because Squiggy died.
And Anyway, but I wonder if there's, I don't think there's a relationship between Emily and Zach and Kate.
Even though Bill Hudson is the dad. I've never known that.
You never knew that she
was married? And I don't think I've ever seen a picture of, what, Grant?
I was just looking at, I didn't know who Michael McKean was, and now I remember.
From Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul, yes. Wow.
And if you've never seen American Graffiti, really and truly, if you want to have what I do think, and it is considered like the best kind of that 50s Harrison Ford is in it. Mm-hmm. Isn't Harrison Ford in it?
Actually, no,
Harrison Ford. It's that other guy that plays the hot rodder. Mackenzie Phillips is in
it.
Yes,
I know.
Paul, he was in our studio. He plays the hot rodder in it.
Paul.
Richard Dreyfuss is in it. Yep. Suzanne Summers.
Harrison Ford is in it, actually.
Okay. That's
Bob FIFA.
Yeah, and Suzanne Summers plays this elusive blonde
Candy Clark was in it.
It's so good. But Laurie Henderson, like, she was sort of the glue of that story because Steve, her boyfriend, wants to go off to college and they've been college sweet. I don't know. It's really a great movie. And I always forget that George Lucas directed it.
Mm-hmm.
They cruised. It's a bunch of kids in the last day of summer vacation. They cruise the town, the streets of a small town of California.
That's what people used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
With disc jockeys, they spin classic rock and roll tunes.
Wolfman Jack.
Wolfman Jack is in it.
That was kind of what
Then she started in 1990s. They were going to do a Steel Magnolias TV show. Mm-hmm. And she was going to play the Sally Field part. And then it never happened. But she was going to be Malin. And it did exist. And then she started Normal Life and Getting By. And then she did a lot of guest stars.
I guess I just don't... She had divorced from Bill and...
Bill Hudson in 2000. They were married for 18
years. She was
young.
She was 75 years old and died of a quick illness.
Oh, man.
Did you guys ever see More American Graffiti from 1979? It's a sequel?
Never did. I love that first one so much.
So the first one, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Classic. Mm-hmm. The sequel, 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Just rewatch that. I'll always rewatch that movie. I see it on. And I wonder where you can... Watch Laverne and Shirley. I just remember watching that with my sisters on a Tuesday night.
All the time.
And we just would laugh. It would be something, you know, to do if we weren't, you know, doing something else. And in 1976, we probably weren't doing anything else. Anyway, they were like Lucy and Ethel years later.
They were wonderful.
Because their physical comedy... Mm-hmm. Maybe Boo Boo Kitty and Penny Marshall waiting for her at the pearly gates.
Wow.
Jeez, I know it. I was really surprised.
If you want to watch Laverne and Shirley.
How do we watch?
So, like, there's an app that you can get on any TV called Pluto. It's a free app. Pluto TV.
They have all the good old shows.
And they actually have a channel dedicated to the whole show, so you could just watch endless Laverne and Shirley.
So,
Pluto TV, go tonight, just go through it. You'll see Laverne and Shirley, and there it is for you.
Right, okay, cool. Here's a little thing about the siblings. You know, Kate Hudson and Oliver and Zach.
Well, Oliver is not, Bill Hudson isn't his dad.
Just Kate. No. So here's what Kate Hudson said on a podcast about wanting to reconnect with Zach and Emily. She says, you know, I've been thinking a lot lately, Dad. Talking to her brother at the time. I've been thinking about our sisters that we don't spend any time with and our brother or brothers. We've got four siblings we don't spend any time with. We've been talking so much about sibling relationships in distraught relationships and good intention. And here we are. We've got these siblings we never talked to.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Anyway, rest in peace, Cindy Williams.
She was always so cute and happy.
So cute. Yep. Just loved her. All right, listen. When we come back, Julia, what are we going to do?
We're going to talk about everything.
We've got
everything every there.
We have good couch, Julia, is what we have.
Lori and Julia here with Ann Tressler of Tressler Law. Now, Ann, we've heard that January has one of the highest rates for divorce filings than any other month of the year. And I'm wondering, is this because of the holidays, because of the new year starting? What's the deal?
I think it really is affected by the holidays. I think a lot of people who are at a difficult point in their life try to maintain status quo for the sake of the children and the family during the holidays. They get through it and they kind of say, this is kind of my last straw. I need to move on. And again, you have your New Year's resolutions. And it's the idea that now I can make those changes I need to and make a fresh start in my life.
And if some of our people listening are thinking about divorce, what should their next steps be?
Well, I really encourage people to start educating themselves. Start really gathering information and knowledge of their financial circumstances. A lot of people rely on the spouse to take care of it. Start educating yourself on that to be prepared. It'll also be more cost effective during the divorce proceeding.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce. Was good couch. There was so much of it. Austin Butler on Fallon, Murray Bartlett on with Colbert. Selma Hayek was on with Kimmel. It was just a lot of good late night, but I had to watch it all this morning because last night I only had room for The Last of Us, Grant, and Julia watched it too. The third episode.
You're right.
Absolutely epic, epic television series. I mean, episode.
Episode. Like, it's one of the best television episodes I might have ever seen in my entire life.
So, so good. Yeah. We're not going to give away any spoilers, but The Last of Us is getting the Kate Bush bump with Long, Long Time, which is featured in that episode.
By Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, by Linda Ronstadt twice. And I did just read a little bit about the show. The executive producer and director, Craig Mazin, his friend Seth Rudetsky suggested this Linda Ronstadt song, which is from 1970, and it was released on her, it was released, it never got to more than 25, okay? And so it was just, you know, anyway, but in an hour on Sunday night, it just went up 4,900%. It's still climbing. And it was such a, you know, an unbelievable episode. It was also hot as hell.
Yep.
And also just so, so moving. But he made it. He said, I knew I needed a song to hit certain things about longing and aching love and endlessly unrequited love. I could not find the right song for the life of me. I was trying and trying and trying. And then I texted my friend Seth, who's the host of SiriusXM on Broadway.
Uh-huh. I love it.
And a savant. And I said, here's all the...
I'm Bradley Trainer.
And I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game. And you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Things I need. And 2 seconds later, he said, Linda Ronstadt, Long, Long Time.
Literally tearing up.
It will totally be the wedding song. And I mean, Craig like knew it right away. So we're not going to spoil what happens in this third episode. I will say HBO Max is heavily, heavily, heavily promoting that they have a 1-week free trial for you to get hooked on these first three episodes. Yes. And
and viewership of that series went up 12% after that episode.
It did.
And it started with, you know, this is from a video game. So it had this built-in audience already when it started because people who played the video game love this video game. And we're excited about it.
But it differs already from the video game.
It has trailed off a little bit. Yeah. But it's nice to talk with someone like Quinn, our social media director. He has such insight from the game that it helps you make those connections. But they're still, you know, you don't need to know the game.
You don't need to know anything about the video game.
You don't.
To watch the show. I'm just saying, you know, it follows in the, like, it gives me the feeling of how I felt about Station 11.
Yes.
Where it's a post-apocalyptic story that is so unbelievable, but yet has hope in humanity, which is always what we like in a good show like this. So,
did The Walking Dead have hope in humanity?
At the beginning.
Yes, at the beginning.
The first three seasons, it really did.
When they got to the CDC, it was hope. You know, the first two or three seasons, like you said, there was always a mission, and then it just got kind of washed out a little
bit. And always in post-apocalyptic and zombie, you need someone to cheer for you. There has to be heart and humanity, otherwise it's insufferable to watch.
Yes, and there is a lot of heart and humanity in this.
And Nick Offerman is, you know, married to Megan Mullally, and he starred in this episode with Marie Bartlett,
who people know as Armand, the hotel general manager from White Lotus.
And the other guy is Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Thank you. That's it. Yep. And I guess Murray was also in The Chippendales, which none of us watched on Hulu. And he was on late night last night. He was on with Colbert. And we won't play any of the stuff that's weird, but first of all, he was beyond a charming guest. Did you catch this at all?
No, I didn't catch any of it. I was on the radio this morning.
Oh, that's right. Well, Rachel Brosnahan was on first, talking about the final season of Mrs. Maisel. And then she's starring on something on Broadway. But Nick had a good, Marie had a good, 10 minutes with Colbert. And just so here's just a little bit about just talking about plane being in this episode 3.
I think if there was an apocalypse, I would be rushing to find Nick Offerman, possibly pushing his wife Megan out of the way. Or maybe she just tragically got lost. I wouldn't mind including her. No. But
he's handy. I've got some of his furniture.
Yeah. He makes things.
Yeah.
He's very practical.
Yeah.
So I think he could. I also feel like he could, like, kill an elk. Don't you think?
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Why not?
I feel like he could kill an elk and dry it and make it last for like 2 years.
Yeah. And what do you bring to the relationship here?
Good point. I've got a great sense of humor. And I'm a good cook. So I could cook the elk.
You could saute an elk.
I could. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny because if you know Ron Swanson's character, he's like the man's man from Parks and Rec. So he's totally Nick Offerman.
He is kind of that way. He does make furniture. He is like kind of a poet, this gentle bear of a guy.
Yes.
Murray also told the story about the first day of filming for The White Lotus, the first one. And Mike White was like, well, you never know. Maybe the person who I like the most in this series that we're about to film will get a spinoff. So obviously the first season, he got Jennifer Coolidge. She got to come back. And then Colbert's like, explain. He said, well, I said to him, I said at the end of it, well, I wonder how that would be. And he said, well, we could always explore Armand's beginning of his general manager career.
Sure. Oh, I love it.
So awesome. Yeah. Oh, I would watch that in a second.
Would watch that in a second. Yes. And that was probably... Season 3 had probably one of the most erotic kiss and erotic scenes I've seen in a television show in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wouldn't you say?
It was so moving. It was beyond.
But it was erotic. It was sexy. And it was sexy in an unexpected way that you never get to see on film.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yep.
Anyway, I just thought
I cried and cried.
Oh, yeah. Multiple times.
I did not know Murray Bartlett was on Guiding Light like forever. I forgot about that.
He was on Guiding Hollywood Light forever.
Well, he got through with White Lotus.
And by taking a dump in a suitcase.
Exactly.
I'll never forget it. And I don't think that's spoiling anything 2 years after that show came out.
No, that is
I think something can't be spoiled after, 3 months,
I would say
year.
3 to 6 for sure.
Yeah.
But that scene, that episode, put him on the map.
Yeah. And I mean, because like most actors would just say, absolutely not. I'm not going to take a dupe in a suitcase.
Right.
And he's been on Guiding Light and he's like, I will take a dupe in your suitcase, Mike White. And I'll let that other thing happen to me at the end.
He's so good. He's good.
So I'm like, please have more. I hope more bookers are booking him because he was just so funny. And Salma Hayek, came dressed to Jimmy Kimmel like she was going to read children's book at a fancy cocktail party.
Someone told her to put away the cover-up wrap, the fishnet thing she wore last week.
I don't know, but she was very funny too. She and Jimmy had great rapport, but I do notice that she always gets billed Salma Hayek
Pernod.
Like 2 years ago, her husband finally said, you have to start using my last name.
Yep.
Which, fine, but I don't know. It seems kind of weird.
Bartlett's got a lot going on. He's got one thing. He's got a TV series in production called Extraplorations or something. It's a very hard word to